Good evening and welcome to View from the Stand, the podcast that looks at Australian football in the A-League men's competition, the A-League women's competition, the National Premier Leagues from around the country, and the international teams as well, both men's and women's competitions. We also will have a look at the English Premier League. And to help me get through all that this evening, he's back on the airwaves, all the way from Brisbane, Mike Howe. Good evening, Mike.
Good evening, Steve.
How are you going?
I'm very well. Starting to dry out now.
Oh, it's not here. Pouring.
Oh, it's terrible.
There's not one place in the house where I can't go where you probably won't be able to hear the rain.
No, it's crazy, isn't it? It's not just rain, it's really pouring. It's really heavy.
Yes, haven't seen. We had a period like this, I think it was last year, where we had same amount of rain, but I don't know if it rained for this long. And it doesn't look like baiting at the moment either.
No, we had a good few weeks of it, hence all our floods and the devastation it caused.
Yeah. No football.
No, the football's all been put off until and including March 13, which is round three. So the grounds are a horrible mess.
Yes, yeah, I did see the pictures that you sent me.
Oh, it's just, you cry over it. It's just shocking.
You do. And some of the grounds have been really badly affected, as you said, Mike. Mitchelton's ground has suffered a real lot of damage up there.
Yes, there's a lot of questions going on about that one. There's talk that they're not insured.
Right.
There's talk that the pitch wasn't laid correctly.
Yeah.
So it just
make such a mess like it did. If it'd been
it
laid
did.
Correctly.
It just seemed to lift like carpet in your house, and it was just crazy.
Yeah. If nobody's seen the pictures, have a look on the Mitchelton Football Club's, probably on their Facebook page, I suppose.
Yeah, it would be.
See what sort of mess the grounds are in.
Oh,
because they've had that pitch for a few years, haven't they?
Correct, yeah. And it cost them, I think, $1 million+.
Yeah.
To put it down. So, yeah, it's really heartbreaking.
You'd expect a bit more for your money than that.
Not wrong.
And Goodwin Park, that looked like a swimming pool.
It did, yes. Clubs like East, Wynnum Wolves, there's just so much. Callaghan Park, where North Star play, it's just crazy. And the clubs are reaching out for, you know, donations and money from patrons to get it all back together.
Right. Yeah. Understandable.
Yeah. So, I think there's quite a few working bees too over the next few weekends. So I hope to get down there soon.
Oh, good on you, Mike. Get down there to Goodwin Park, help the Olympic boys.
Bloody oath.
So if anybody, whoever's listening, well, for all our listeners up there in Brisbane, get in contact with your club if you'd like to volunteer your time to help get their pitches back in order so we can get some National Premier League football going up there in Brisbane. Well, it wasn't too bad down here considering the conditions. We only had one match washed out. That was the first game of the season on Friday night between Mount Druitt Town Rangers and RPL Leichhardt. All the other games went ahead.
That's impressive.
So I think all the other divisions have been put back a week. I don't think any of the League 1, 2 or 3 matches were played. But the National Premier League went ahead. Oh, there goes my phone. I forgot to put it on silent again. I'll just rectify that right now. It's annoying, isn't it? Phones make those noises. Yeah.
You love them, but you hate them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so that wasn't too bad. Only one game washed out over the weekend in the National Premier League. There was one A-League match which was washed out. That was between Wellington, Phoenix and Melbourne City, I think, from memory. I'll have to have a look at that one in a minute. But I think that was the only game in the A-League that got cancelled due to the weather.
Yeah.
And that was played at Leichhardt Oval and the pitch was pretty much unplayable. They tried.
Yeah, you've got to give it to them. You've got to make an effort.
That's it. Anything stick out in your eye in the A-League this week, Mike?
No, I did watch the Melbourne Victory game.
Yeah, that was a Victory half a match.
Yeah, that was rather rather testy. It was a very physical affair, but a good game.
Yeah, Melbourne Victory won that one by 3-1.
Mm.
And they led 3-0 up to the last minute. Then Giannio scored a 90th-minute goal for MacArthur to give them some sort of consolation. But Melbourne Victory pretty much dominated that one.
Oh, from start to go, it was just a really good dominant display.
Nicholas DiCostino, he scored a brace in the first half. He scored in the 20th minute and the second minute of injury time just before half time. So it was good for him. Nice to get a couple of goals in the first half.
Most certainly.
And Marco Rojas, he got a goal in the 58th minute for the victory. So it was a good result for them. They've had started up really well this year, Melbourne, but the last month or 6 weeks or so, they've sort of dropped in form. So that'd be a well-needed win for them.
Yeah, most certainly. They had a couple of hiccups, so one was against Newcastle Jets.
Yeah, that's right.
So that was one that was unexpected for them.
For sure, yeah. But looking at the statistics, MacArthur had more of the ball. They had 53% possession. But I guess, it doesn't matter how much of the ball you have. It's what you do with it at the end of the day that counts.
Very much so. Exactly right. Yes, you can have all the possession in the world you need. But yes, as you said, it's the goals in the back of the net.
True. Now, Western United, they played Newcastle Jets on Saturday. That was played out of Ballarat at one of their home grounds.
Yes.
The Mars Stadium. Western United are looking pretty good, aren't they?
Are looking very good. Newcastle Jets, I don't know where they were. They played some not so impressive football. Whether it was the extra travel, I don't know. But you're right, Western United played some really good stuff.
Yeah, John Aloisi's got them playing. He's got them structured really well. He's got them playing some nice football. And they're really hard to break down at the back.
Oh, certainly are.
And they've recruited very well as well.
Yeah, there's some good lads there.
Certainly is. They've got the French guy, Lecroix. I think he's Lecroix. I think he's best pronounce his name.
He scored both.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he got two goals.
Yeah.
In the 52nd minute. So one inside of half time.
Oh, very impressive with him.
Yeah, he did very well. And it's good to see our old mate Topper Stanley. He's still going.
Oh, I think it's his second time around. The man's a genius.
He's a legend, isn't he?
He certainly is. Nothing seems to slow him down. He just keeps rocking on.
I think it was about 350 games or something his milestone was the other week. So.
Oh, good gracious.
Yeah. And Angus Virgo, he got a late consolation for Newcastle Jets.
Certainly did.
But Newcastle, not overly impressive in that one.
Yeah, no, I wasn't really impressed with the boys.
Also, there was a triple header on Saturday, which was exciting for everybody sitting at home watching it on telly. Second match, Central Coast Mariners were at home to Brisbane Roar. You watched that game, Mike, I know.
Yes, I did, unfortunately.
And I was, as I was trying to get down to the Combank Stadium on Saturday evening for the
season. That's right. Took the long way around.
Could only get a train as far from Penrith to Blacktown. And I managed to hop in an Uber car with a couple of Wanderers fans. So we shared the fare and got out to the ground just in time for kickoff.
Brilliant. That's what it's all about, isn't it? It's all that matters.
So that was nice of those lads to allow me to share that ride.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, good bunch of lads.
So while I was doing all that, you were watching the Mariners in Brisbane. What did you think of the Mariners' performance?
I thought the Mariners played really good football. They didn't let Brisbane in much at all. They held the ball well. They attacked well. I think they're a good side.
There wasn't much action in front of goal. Central Coast had 7 shots on goal, and 6 of those were on target. So it was pretty accurate shooting.
Was.
And, of course, they got 2 into the back of the net.
Correct.
Well, the Brisbane, yeah. I think it tells you the story. They had 13 shots at goal and only four on target. And only one of them hit the back of the net.
Yeah, so, I think...
it doesn't matter how much of the ball you have or how many shots you have. It's how many goals you get at the end of the day.
That's exactly right. Yep. Yeah, and just Central Coast were the better side for the day.
Yeah, Brisbane, where do you think they fell down?
They seem to lack a little bit of discipline as well.
Right.
We seem to lose it in midfield. We didn't seem as strong up front. Whether deliveries or the getting the ball up front was the problem, but
yeah,
we just didn't seem to get it together.
Hasn't gelled this year for Brisbane at all, has it?
No, I had a couple of good results, but I think next year we might be a little bit better. Hopefully, we'll get a settled home ground plus a couple of buys.
Yeah, it's been a disjointed season. That's been the problem for a lot of teams. So really not too much out of this season's competition, to be honest with you.
Nah, you're quite right. You know, the boys don't know where they're playing half the time and whether the game's going on or off, if it's COVID, if it's weather.
Right.
Yeah, you know, poor buggers they're playing it. It's everything by the hour almost.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Game cancelled the drop of the hat.
That's it. Yep. Money needs a referee to go. No, not playable.
That's it. Off. Not playing. Anyway, Benny Nicolo, he scored in the 49th minute for Mariners. And Nikolai Müller, he scored in the 55th. With Juan Lescano, he scored in the 69th minute for Brisbane Roar. Has there been anybody this season in Brisbane that stood out for you, Mike?
I think the only lad that seems to be standing out for me is young Henry Hoare.
Yeah, he's been a good player. He seems to have been the standout player for me.
Yeah,
well.
He's a good lad. He's got a good football brain. All he needs is experience and more game time, and he'll be something special.
Yeah, very true. Be interesting to see his. Hopefully, Brisbane can hang on to him.
I hope so too. At least for another year or two.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think he certainly has. Sights on bigger things on most players.
Yeah, for sure. Like the A-League's pretty much is a good stepping stone for a lot of these young fellas.
It is.
To, a professional career overseas. Then hopefully they can learn their trade and get some money over there, then come back and pass on what they've learned to the next generation of young players.
And that's it. I mean, you look back at the lads that have gone overseas in the last 10 or 15 years. There's some quality boys over there.
Sure, yeah.
You know,
the last, 30 years, we've been exporting quite a lot of talent.
We have. You know, your Craig Johnsons back in the 80s for Liverpool, and the Harry Kewells for Leeds, and Arthur Duke for Leeds.
It really started, I suppose, with those guys. But even John Cosmina back in the 70s, he went and had a small stint with Arsenal.
Correct.
And I actually remember him coming on as a substitute. I think it was on the big match or match of the day, whatever it was we used to get over here. So he was probably one of the more modern-day players that ventured overseas. Before that, of course, there was Joe Marsden.
Yes.
Who,
what a legend.
Played for Preston.
Yep.
I think, from memory.
Yep, correct.
So he was one of the real pioneers of Australian football.
Certainly was.
Yeah.
Well, they seem to love the Aussies over there.
Sorry?
Seem to love the Aussies. The Aussie boys seem to knuckle down and get into it.
Yeah, for sure. Don't think we've got as many these days playing in the top flight. Like this, I don't think there's anybody in the Premier League at the moment from Australia. So they seem to be going to the Championship or League One sides, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that the pressure is not so intense in the Championship and League One. I think there's certainly more game time available to the lads.
Yeah.
They can really express themselves without too much problem, whereas the Premier League is so cutthroat.
Oh, that's right. If they can get over there and get into a Championship or a League One and impress in those competitions, then it's a good yet another good stepping stone into the Premier League.
Correct. Or places like the Spanish League or the Bundesliga.
Yeah. They're all great competitions.
Certainly are.
Anyway, get moving on. When I finally did get to Combank Stadium, and it was the Sydney Derby between Western Sydney Wanderers and Sydney FC. Did you get to see the game, Mike?
No, I didn't get to see that one.
What's that one? Yeah, Wanderers were the better team. Sydney, once again, it was up front where they struggled in the final third, which they have all season.
Mm-hmm.
The only real opportunity, I guess, they had was towards the end when Adam Lafondre hit the crossbar. But apart from that, there was nothing really. The Sydney didn't really worry the Magoosh, the Western Sydney Wanderers goalkeeper, I didn't think. The Wanderers started well. They started on the front foot and put Sydney under a bit of pressure in the first 5 minutes.
Wow.
And the first goal was a penalty, which was awarded to Tomar Hamad. Well, he took the penalty in the 37th minute. A bit of a controversial one. The Sydney FC fans, of course, didn't think it should have been a penalty. And the Wanderers, the RBB people, they thought that it was the correct decision, of course.
Of course. Yes, you wouldn't doubt it.
I think it was Nardarine, the Western Sydney Wanderer. I think he's a midfield player. He caused Sydney all sorts of trouble, and they had trouble controlling him. Lost Elvis Kansoba during the second half. Toward the end of the first half, actually, I think, from memory. And he was replaced by Bobo. But even Bobo, who's been coming on and banging the goals away for Sydney when they can score, he couldn't even produce anything in the derby. Kano Backus, he scored in the 52nd minute. And that pretty much wrapped up the points there for the Wanderers. They're only 3 points behind Sydney now, so they're really pushing the Sky Blues for a final berth.
Wow.
So a bit of maybe a bit of a turnaround in the season for the Wanderers. Mark Rudin, he was pretty thrilled with the win, as you could imagine.
He's such a quality coach, isn't he?
Yeah, he certainly. Well, you know, they had a lot of passion in that game anyway on Saturday night. He's had a bit of an up and down start to his career at the Wanderers, but you know, it's only early days. It's a team that he's inherited. I think they've just given him a contract for 2 years, two seasons.
Yeah, read that. Yeah.
Yeah. So during the summer, he'll be able to put his stamp on the side and recruit some players that he wants on his side.
That's it. And that's what coaches have got to do these days. They've got to gel them to what they want.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, he can only play with the players that he's got.
Correct.
Sydney FC, I'm not sure what they're going to do. I think there might be a few players that might be sort of getting to their retirement age. Milos Ninkovic, he doesn't last the full game very often these days. Still, you know, he's still a great player, quality player.
Yeah, got some good touches.
Probably one of the best players I've seen in the A-League, if not in A-League, National Soccer League. Such a quality player.
Yeah, so you wish these players could go on forever.
Yeah, I know. We're going to really miss Sydney. Are going to really miss him when he ends. Adam Lafondre, players like that, they're all coming towards the end of their playing days, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think Bobo is in his mid-30s as well.
Yeah, he's in his mid-30s. And now Wilkinson, he's still going. He's about 92, I think.
Yeah, I think, definitely about that age.
He looks like he's about in his mid-40s, and he's must be at least 92 by now.
But he's still got it.
He's still going.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether he's hanging around in his 93rd year or not. You've also got to look at the coaching situation as well, whether Steve Corica, whether he'll hang around for another season. He's been there for about 4 years now.
Yeah.
I think they're starting to look a little bit stale, lacking a little bit of creativity.
Yeah, maybe it is time for a change.
Yeah, I think probably 4 years is probably about the length of a coach. Then I think you need some new ideas, you know, to give them that spark.
That's it. Whole new approach of doing things. You could do the same thing a different way and it pays off.
Very true. Very true. Anyway, we will wait and see what happens during the off season.
We will.
And Perth Glory, they returned to the west of Australia for the first time in something like 109 days, I think it was.
Good Lord.
So they were happy to be home, but the result wasn't what they wanted.
No.
They went down 2-1 to Adelaide United with Hiroshi Ipsuki. He scored in the 46th minute. And Mohamed Touré, he scored in the 59th before a consolation goal by Bruno Fornaroli by courtesy of a penalty in the 90th minute, finished the scoring in that one. So a disappointing result there for Perth Glory and their fans on their first match back in the Western Australia. But it's been a funny old season. They've still got a few games up their sleeve, and they'll probably play a few of those at home. So they might pick up a few more points.
Yeah, I think you said once before they've got quite a few games at home now, quite a long run.
Yeah. Mm. They're about 3 games behind City, Adelaide United, Sydney FC. So there's 9 points.
Exactly.
Maybe if they can pick up some points. Even Brisbane, they've got a few games up their sleeve as well.
Yeah.
So even if Brisbane can pick up some points, they can move up the table as well.
That's it. 1 there, 3 here. All adds up.
Looking at the table, Mike, we've got Western United top of the table at the moment with 32 points, and they're looking pretty good.
They are looking good, aren't they?
Ago, and I stuck my neck out and said I think they'd probably be they might win the Premier's Plate this year.
They're going well. I mean, they've played a game less than Melbourne City, and they're 3 points in front of them.
That's right. Got a game in hand in the City.
Yep.
Second on 29. Then there's a bit of a gap down there to Adelaide United. They're on 24 points, but they're doing all right. They're in third place. They're comfortably in the top six at the moment.
Yep.
MacArthur in fourth on 22 points. Not looking too bad either. They've had a bit of a couple of losses, a couple of wins and a draw in the last 5 matches. So it's been a bit of everything there for them. Melbourne Victory are now fifth on 21 with Sydney FC. Sixth on goal difference on 18 points. Wellington are just a goal behind them in 18 points as well on 7 points. Newcastle Jets are in eighth on 15. Wanderers on 15 points. And they've got 2 games in hand on Sydney FC. So you could see them swap positions at some stage. Central Coast are 10th on 14 points. Perth Glory 11th on 12. And Brisbane Roar, bottom of the table at the moment with 11. Their goal difference is their problem, I think. They've got -8 at the moment.
Yeah. Our defensive line isn't the best. And I'm not really, I don't be too critical, but I thought the keeper was not really good on the weekend.
Yeah, right. Who's the keeper now? Freak.
Yeah. But again, it's a learning curve for the boys. I mean, Warren Moon's doing a pretty good job of what he's got.
I mean, it's really hard for a young keeper to come in and replace Jamie Young anyway, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Jamie Young was such a good... He was unbelievable. And he's still performing well.
He is for Western United. That's probably one of the reasons why they're at the top of the table.
He commands his area very well. He's very good in distribution. Reads the game very well.
Yeah, certainly does. I think that just what have we got coming up in the A League this week? Let's have a little look at our matches for next weekend. We have on Wednesday night, March the 9th, Melbourne City, they're at home to MacArthur. That's a 7:05 kickoff for all you people who listen to us down in Melbourne. And also on Wednesday, the 9th of March, Wellington Phoenix. They're at home, wherever home is these days. let's have a look. Central Coast Stadium this week is their home.
Oh, dear.
Wednesday night against Newcastle Jets. Then on also on Wednesday night, we've got, that starts at 7:45. But before that, we've got Central Coast Mariners and Melbourne Victory kicking off at 5 o'clock. That should be a good game.
So we got a doubleheader at Central Coast Stadium.
Yeah, Wednesday night.
Get on down for that one. That'll be fantastic.
Pity I'll be at work.
Yeah, it makes 2 of us.
You see that?
Bloody work.
So you got three games on you got one at 7:05, Melbourne City and MacArthur, Wellington Phoenix and Jets at 7:45, and the early kickoff is Central Coast and Victory at 5:05. They're both at the Central Coast Stadium. Next Friday night, Sydney FC versus Western United. That match has been switched from Netstrata from March the 12th to March the 11th Friday at Leichhardt Oval. Brisbane Roar, they're at home to Wellington Phoenix on Saturday afternoon, Mike, 5:05.
Yep.
How do you think Roar will go in that one?
Back at home, home crowd, I think they'll do okay.
Yeah, they might. They've got to start picking up some points.
Yeah, I think they'll do well against Wellington.
MacArthur Bulls versus Western Sydney Wanderers on Saturday at another Sydney derby. The, I don't know what you call that, Western Sydney derby. There'll be at Campbelltown Stadium. That's on Saturday evening at 7:45. And the big one down in Melbourne is the Melbourne derby between City and Victory, which will be at Amy Park. Kicking off at 7:45, that should be a good match. I think City might just shade that one.
I think they will too. Yeah, I think there's a class of victory.
Yeah, Adelaide United, they're at home on Sunday at 6:05. They're playing Newcastle Jets, and Perth Glory, they're at home again on Sunday at 7:05, playing Central Coast Mariners. So a big weekend and a big midweek coming up with football matches, Mike, in the A-League
men's competition. Love it. Love it. Yes.
Lots of good football happening around the place. So get out and support one of your teams. All right, we've been going for 26 minutes, Mike.
Sorry?
We've been going for 26 minutes so far.
Wow.
So we better move on and have a look at the A-League women's competition. And this evening, Mike, you'd be happy to know, Brisbane Roar beat Newcastle Jets for the second time in a few days, 4-0.
Good result.
Yeah, that was this afternoon up there in Brisbane. And Katrina Gorry, she scored in the 4th minute to get them off to a great start. Larissa Crummer, she scored in the 13th, and she's been banging the goals in the last few days. And Shay Connors, she scored a brace in the 29th and 38th minutes. That was a good win there for the Brisbane girls this evening.
Brilliant.
Sydney FC, of course, have won the Premier's Plate for the 4th time in the 14-year history of the women's competition, whether it be the A-League or the W-League. So well done to Sydney FC. They've had a brilliant season. They topped it off yesterday with a very close 1-0 victory over Adelaide United. Paige Satchell scoring in the 61st minute. Sydney pretty much dominated a lot of the game. Adelaide did have one or two chances. Did test the Sydney keeper, Jada, on a few occasions. But by and large, I think Sydney deserved their win. They did enough to get over the line and put their hands on the Premier's Plate. So well done to them.
For sure.
Average age, I think, is around about 22. So.
And that's brilliant.
Fantastic job.
Yeah, if you can get those girls to stick together.
Yeah, for sure.
They'll be a bigger force next year.
Yeah, they've got Melbourne City on Sunday in the semi-final. Melbourne City, they were top of the table for a little while yesterday. They beat Western Sydney Wanderers by 2-0. That was out at the Blacktown Football Park, which is a nice little complex out there, which they use for Western Sydney Wanderers, use it as their training base.
Mm-hmm.
And Blacktown Spartans, I think, play there. Great setup down. There's about 4 artificial pitches. Melbourne City won that by 2-0, put them top of the table for a couple of hours. Rihanna Polisina scored in the 21st minute, and Anna Wilkinson in the 73rd. So they would have been a nervous flight home, I'd imagine, for the City girls.
Very much so.
And they would have been glued to their phones, I guess, watching the Sydney FC girls play. In other matches, the Wellington girls, they finished their their time in Australia. They went down 3-1 to Perth Glory on Friday night. That was down at Wind Stadium. So the girls will be packing up their bags and heading home, which they will be looking forward to, I would imagine.
Oh, I couldn't imagine the euphoria that those girls must be going through right now.
Yeah. They must have... they've been through a lot this year, relocating from their homes. All young girls, average age about 18.
Incredible.
First season in the competition, so well done to them.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Hats off to them.
Yeah, for sure. They'll go home and regroup and hopefully be able to play at home next year.
Yeah, the way things seem to be going, I think she'll be a settled year next season.
Yeah, hopefully so, hopefully so. Hmm. So Isabel Gomez put the ball in the back of her own net to get Perth off to a start in the 23rd minute. And then Mackenzie Hinson scored in the 61st and Aidan Keane in the 63rd minute. Grace Yale scored in the 86th minute from the penalty spot for Wellington. So, yeah, they finished. They had one win and a couple of draws, I think. Melbourne Victory and Canberra, they played Friday night as well, and they drew 0-0. Newcastle Jets last Friday night played Brisbane Roar again. This one was at the International Sports Centre, whatever you call it, the sports ground, number two.
Yep.
You're familiar with that one, Mike?
I am.
And they went down. Brisbane won that by 5-1. So 2-9 goals Brisbane scored against Newcastle in a few days, conceding one. Anna Margraf, she scored in the 17th. Larissa Crummer, she's got a hat-trick, 29th, 55th and 70th and 57th minute. For Lauren Allen scored in the 63rd for Newcastle. And Holly Palmer wrapped up the points for Brisbane in the 71st minute. So the Brisbane girls, a couple of good results there, Mike.
Very good results. They certainly come home with a wet sail, didn't they?
Certainly have. Have you seen much of the Brisbane girls this season?
Unfortunately not, no. With work and other commitments, I've missed a lot of the girls' games.
Yeah. That's always the story, isn't it?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So that's what happened in the W League. Over the weekend, there's one more current game to come. It's on Thursday night, 7:05, with Brisbane Roar playing their last match against Canberra United. That's going to be played at Perry Park with a 7:05 kickoff.
Yeah, I can't see Canberra upset them.
Wouldn't think so. Not the way they've been playing lately.
No.
So, table at this stage, with one game to go, has Sydney as premiers on 35. Melbourne City 33, Adelaide United 27, Melbourne Victory 24. It makes up the top four. Next week, Sydney play Melbourne City in Sydney. I'm not sure where or when. Adelaide United play Melbourne Victory in the elimination match on the weekend in Adelaide. Perth Glory 5th on 24 points. Brisbane 6th on 16 points. They got another game to go, but they can't go any higher and they can't go any lower. So,
yeah,
that's where they'll stay. Canberra United, the same position for them. They'll be 7th. Newcastle finished 10th. Western Sydney 9th on 7. And Wellington Phoenix, as we said, down the bottom on 7 points. So actually, Wellington had 2 wins. I didn't realise. Finished with 7 points and a draw. So, well done to them.
Oh, for sure.
All right. That wraps up the A-League section of the show, Mike. We do have some Premier League stuff to look at. I did have the New South Wales Premier League things here, but I seem to have lost them. So if you bear with me for a tick, I will get them back up again. Big week of fixtures in New South Wales. As I said, that's not working. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll look at Victoria first, and we'll come back. All right. In Victoria last weekend, we had on the 4th of March, Friday night, Dandenong City. They were at home to Hume City. Dandenong won that by 2-1. South Melbourne. They're at home to the Melbourne Knights in an old NSL rivalry clash there. That was at Lakeside Stadium, and South Melbourne won that by 2-0. So a couple of old traditional teams there, Mike.
Rivals, yes. Reliving old days.
Yep. And start the season off the other week, it was a match between South Melbourne and Heidelberg, which was another traditional old derby.
Very much so.
Derby. South Melbourne got the better of Heidelberg that night by 3-1. Heidelberg were away to Bentley Greens this weekend and went down 1-0. Oakley Cannons, they were at home to Dandenong Thunder and won that 2-1. Avondale 0, St Albans Saints 1, and Port Melbourne Sharks 2, Green Gully 0. Another ex-NSL team.
Yes.
Altona Magic 0, Eastern Lions 1. That was last weekend's results. This weekend in the Victorian Premier League, Melbourne Knights are at home at Knight Stadium against Bentley Green. Green Gully, they're at Green Gully Reserve. Both of these games are on Friday night. The Knights match kicks off at 7:30. Green Gully kicks off at 8. Saturday, Eastern Lions versus Port Melbourne. That's a 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday at 12. Hume City versus Avondale on Saturday at 7 p.m. Dandenong Thunder versus Altona Magic. 7 p.m. the 12th of March, 7 p.m. kickoff. Heidelberg, they're at home at the Olympic Village, the ground that we've been to, Mike.
Yes, quite a few times, I think.
Yeah, went there a couple of times back in the old days. They're playing Oakley Cannons on Sunday with a 3 p.m. kickoff. And finally, St Albans Saints, they're at home to South Melbourne at 5 p.m. So get along to one of those games. Looking at the South Australian League, Mike, we've got Adelaide Olympic. They played White City and won 4-1. Campbelltown City and Metro Stars had a 3-3 draw. Oh, I didn't give the table for the Victorian. I'll look at that in a minute. Croydon Kings, they played another former NSL side, Adelaide City. That was a 0-0 draw. Cumberland United 1, Adelaide Comets 1. WT Berkala 3, Sturt Lions 0, the South Adelaide Panthers 6, Adelaide United 0. Looking at the table in the South Australian Premier League, South Adelaide the top on 9 points, undefeated so far, 3 from 3. Adelaide Comets 2nd on 7, Adelaide City 3rd on 7, Croydon Kings 4th on 7 points, Metro Stars 5th on 6, Adelaide Olympic, 3 points. They're middle of the table there on 6. WT Berkala, 3 points. Sturt Lions, 3 points. Adelaide United, 3 points also in ninth. And you've got Campbelltown, White City and Cumberland United all bottom on 1 point. So everything's happening there, Mike, in the South Australian competition now.
Yes.
South Melbourne topped the Victorian competition. I guess it's no real surprise. They're a very strong team. They won 3 from 3, and they've got 9 points. Second is St Albans Saints. They've got 7 points. Dandenong Thunder, third with 6. Avondale have got their 4th with 6 points. Oakley Cannons, 5th with 6. Green Gully, 6th with 6 points. Then we've got Port Melbourne, 7th with 5 points. The Knights, they're down in 8th on 3 points. They've got a win and 2 draws. Eastern Lions, 3 points. Bentley Greens, 3 points. Dandenong City, 3. Hume City are 12th with 2 points. Altona Magic, 13th with 1 point. And bottom of the table, Heidelberg United. Yet to register a point. That's a bit of a shock.
Yes. Obviously nowhere near what they used to be when the old Gary Cole was playing.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, he used to bang the goals away for the Heidelberg back in those days.
Didn't he ever?
But South Melbourne is looking the early pace setters in that competition.
Most certainly are. But early days.
Yeah, for sure. All right, what else have we got, Mike? What else should we look at? Oh, You got any news from anything happening up there, mate?
No, everything's very quiet, unfortunately. It's just a matter of digging deep and getting the grounds back together and trying to get the competition up and running.
No news from the Olympic dressing sheds at the moment?
No, it's all been very quiet.
Quiet. You haven't been able to get any news from the Olympic side of things?
No, I mean, no, they're very, very quiet at the moment. Obviously, they've got bigger things to worry about, but...
By
emptying their pool, pumping out the pool and trying to get the grass dry. We've had a couple of hot days over the last few days, so hopefully that'll help things. But I'm certainly going to keep me near the ground.
Yep, okay. Yep, try and come up with some news stories for us.
For sure.
Let's have a look at the Women's World Cup's got 500 days to go until it kicks off in Australia and New Zealand, so that's exciting.
Wow. Be here before you know it.
That's it. And, of course, that's being hosted over here and in New Zealand as well. So very exciting there. I think the first match is being played at Eden Park, I think, from memory. And the final is in Sydney at the Olympic Stadium, I think. So hopefully we'll be able to get to some of those games, Mike.
Yes, I think Brisbane has 6 allocated games. We also have a semi-final or a quarter-final.
Oh, fantastic.
Which will be unbelievable.
They'll be played at Suncorp, I would imagine.
Most definitely. And I'll do everything in my power to get to Sydney for the final, especially if we're playing. It'd
be great for us to go out and share that one together.
Most definitely. I can almost promise it.
So that's exciting news. New Zealand are coming over for 2 games in April. First match, I think, is in Canberra on the 12th down there. It used to be called Bruce Stadium. I've got no idea what they call it these days.
We'll leave it at Bruce Stadium.
So one of the games there. Not sure where the other game is being held. I haven't really announced it yet. But that'll be good to see the Matildas back in action after the Asian World Cup, the Asian Championships. Which was a bit of a disappointment for them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if there's many changes to the way the girls hit out.
Yeah.
Changes to the squad itself.
Yes, certainly will.
Yeah, now the Liberty A-League is coming to a close. There'll be more players available and more players probably in camp as well.
For sure. Courtney Vine, who's been a real revelation this year for Sydney FC, she was put on ice on the weekend. She had a little bit of a stroke, so hopefully she'll be okay for the semi-final this week. And then,
nothing serious, we hope.
Yeah, hopefully not. Then she'll be right for the Matildas. She's been a fantastic player this year.
Yeah, she's certainly one to watch for. She's just going to be phenomenal in years to come.
Yeah, certainly is.
And it's just a matter of time how long Sydney hold on to her.
Yeah, for sure. Another big announcement I saw today was that the Football Australia has set up the Para Matildas as the latest national team to join the Australian family of national teams. They're going to be, it's made up with girls, with women and girls with cerebral palsy and acquired brain injury, ABI, and symptoms of a stroke. It's the first for the Asia Pacific region. The Para Matildas became the 10th member of the Australian national team family and the first new senior national team in 22 years. So that's fantastic.
Wow, that is great news.
There's more than 2.2 million women and girls who live with a disability, with 700,000 Australians living with the ABI, the acquired brain injury. 1 in 6 Australians set to have a stroke in their lifetime. CP football is a 7-a-side sport with similar goals, 30-minute halves and no offsides. Players are classed as FT1, FT2 and FT3, depending on how their disability affects a player.
Yep.
With at least one FT1 player and a maximum of one FT3 player required to be on the pitch at all times. So that's fantastic news.
That is great news. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Parramatildas will hold their first camp in April as they prepare to compete in the inaugural IFCPF Women's World Cup in Spain. So the lucky ladies will be getting to go to Spain. That tournament takes place from the 8th to the 18th of May. So that's going to be a fantastic trip for the girls.
Not wrong. How many levels?
Yeah. Australians can get behind the Paralympic World Cup campaign by making a tax-deductible donation to the team. If you look on the website, the Australian website, there'll be a link there. Every $2 donation made to the squad is tax-deductible and will go directly supporting the national team's training camps, coaching, support, diets, tournament costs. It costs a lot of money for all these things.
Well, that's right. You think about airfares and just accommodation alone.
Yeah.
Then you've got things like kits and food and drinks and transport. And
that's right. And if another way to support the Para Matildas is to go along to support the Matildas is to purchase a ticket to Australia's upcoming international friendly against New Zealand in Canberra, which I can now tell you is the GIO Stadium. $1 for every ticket sold will be donated to the Para Olympics. So if you listen to us down in Canberra,
fantastic.
Paralympics. Yeah. All right. Move on now. That's fantastic news. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, brilliant.
New South Wales Premier League that kicked off this weekend, Mike. This is a competition more familiar to us both.
Yep.
Marconi Stallions, they kicked off the season at Seymour Shore Park on Saturday afternoon, defeating Sutherland by 3-2. So, unfortunately, the Sharks going down there. It was a high-octane game. They had all the fans in the stands on the edge of their seats. I'm sure we would have been on the edge of our seats if we were there, Mike.
Oh, most definitely. I miss the old home ground.
Yeah. It's looking good there. They've got the new clubhouse being constructed down there on the boulevard end, which is going to be fantastic for the club, which is being funded by the club and their sponsor, Pipe King.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that photograph you sent me.
Yeah, so it's going to look terrific. Looks like it's going to be where the old dressing rooms were, up to where the scoreboard is.
Oh, yes, that corner there.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
The midway along that the boulevard section there. Yeah, so that was a 3-2 victory there to the Stallions. Sydney Olympic, they went down to Manly United at Belmore Sports Ground. Roy O'Donovan, of course, has signed with Olympic. So it'll be interesting to see how Roy goes. An old Brisbane Roar player.
Yes.
And so the Northern Beaches outfit there, they claimed
City, they're at home at
the Blacktown City Sports Centre, as it's now known. We used to know it as the Gabby Stadium, I think, back in the day.
Yes, that's right.
They beat Rockdale Illenden by 1-0. Sydney United, 58. We used to know as Sydney Croatia. They beat Wollongong Wolves at the Sydney United Sports Centre, 1-0. And Sydney FC beat Northbridge Bulls by 3-2 at the Rockdale Illenden Sports Centre. And as I said at the start of the show, Mount Druitt Town Rangers and RPL Leichhardt was washed out, which that ground doesn't go well. It's just a little bit of rain, so I didn't think that game was going to survive at all. Looking at this weekend, easy tip for the New South Wales NPL in early days.
Probably, you'd have to throw Rockdale in there again.
Yeah, they always seem pretty strong.
They are, yeah. Manly I've always been impressed with.
Yeah.
And probably Apia. Apia Leichhardt would be the three.
Yeah. Let's have a look and see who's playing this week. See how you go towards the end of the season.
Yeah. I hope I'm wrong in Sutherland with it.
Yes, yes. We can only hope. All right, looking at this weekend's matches. Right, that's last weekend's matches. Hate it when they change all these Facebook, they're not Facebook things, all these internet things. You get used to one thing and they change it to something else.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Let's have a look. On Friday night, RPL Leichhardt, they're at home to Manly United at Lambert Park, another ground that we know very well.
Yes.
It'll be kicking off at 7:30 p.m. there. Sutherland, they're at home again to Sydney United 58. That'll be another tough going for the Sharks.
Yeah.
That's at Seymour Shore Park. First grade kicking off at 3:30. 1:30 kickoff for the under-20s. Northbridge Bulls, they will be playing Wollongong Wolves at the Sydney United Sports Centre at 7 o'clock. That's on, when is it? It's on sometime this weekend. I think it's on Saturday, yes.
Saturday the 12th, yeah.
Saturday the 12th. And on Sunday, you've got Sydney Olympic. They're playing Rockdale at Belmore Sports Ground. That'd be a good game.
Sydney, yeah, that'll be a cracker, that one.
Yeah. Sydney FC are at home to Marconi at Rockdale Illenden Sports Centre. First grade kicking off at 6:30. And a local derby at the Blacktown City Sports Centre. Blacktown City versus Mount Druitt Town Rangers. 5 o'clock kickoff. If I'm not doing anything, I might try and get out there for that one. So that's what's happening in all the National Premier Leagues around the country.
Yeah, so get out and support us. As Steve said, get out and support your teams.
Yeah. Been a busy old show.
No, it certainly has.
Let's have a look at the English Premier League quickly. And Leicester City, they played Leeds United in the start of the weekend's matches, with Leicester winning that by 1-0. Harvey Barnes scored in the 67th minute there for Leicester. Leicester played all right. Leeds played pretty good.
Yeah, they've certainly bucked up a little bit.
They sure have. So, yeah, they've got Bielsa's gone, so they've got a new coach coming in. The 4-0 loss to Tottenham was too much for them. Aston Villa, they beat Southampton 4-0. It was a big result there for Villa.
Yeah, that was a good game, that one. Philip Coutinho scored a double, and he was very, very prominent in midfield.
Right. Danny Ings, he got on the score sheet.
He did. Yeah, and Ollie Watkins scored the other.
Yeah, he did. So, good result there for Villa. Oh, well, I thought Danny Ings should have gone to Tottenham, but they didn't buy him.
Oh, such a class player. I mean, we had him at Liverpool, and he was struck down by injury after injury, but when he played, my goodness. Such a power pack player.
Yeah, I saw him play in a Europa League match for Liverpool against Young Boys, I think it was, when we were over there back in 2015. Yeah, yeah, and he was very impressive that night.
Yeah, great little player.
Burnley went down to Chelsea 4-0. Rhys James scored in the 47th, Kai Havertz in the 53rd and 55th minute, and Christian Pulisic in the 69th minute. And, of course, the big news out of there was Roman Abramovich relinquishing control of the club and putting them up for sale. So it'd be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, rumour has it. There's a couple of rumours going around. There's an American, two people in America want to buy it. There's also a Turkish company looking at them as well.
Oh, interesting.
Hmm.
Newcastle United, they beat Brighton 2-1. They've had a bit of a good run of it lately.
Oh, Eddie Howe has just put the spark in him, hasn't he? They're doing such a great job.
Yeah. Ryan Fraser in the 12th and Fabian Schär 2 minutes later in the 14th. The goal scorers, and Lewis Dunk, he got the goal for Brighton in the 55th. So, yeah, they're doing all right.
Yeah, doing well.
Their next match is against Southampton away. And then Brighton have got Liverpool this weekend at home. Norwich City, they went down to Brighton by 3-1.
Good. Yay.
Ivan Toney scored a hat-trick, including 2 penalties. And Timu Puki, he scored in the 92nd minute there for Norwich for a consolation goal. Good to see Christian Eriksen back on the field as well last week.
Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it? He's playing so well as well.
Yeah, brought tears to my eyes.
He's just such a class act.
Yeah, for sure. I said, when I went and saw Tottenham play Aston Villa at the new stadium back in 2019, Spurs were struggling. And Christian Eriksen came on and changed the game, as far as I was concerned. He was a terrific player. Once he came on, he started dictating terms from midfield and spraying balls all around the place, and then Tottenham went on to win the match.
Fantastic.
Unfortunately, he wanted to move on, so
yes.
I don't know what happened in the Euros.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Crystal Palace beat Wolves at Molineux 2-0. Jean-Philippe Matata, he scored the 19th, and Wilfred Zaha, he got a penalty in the 34th minute there. So good win there for Palace. Liverpool had a 1-0 win over West Ham. Did you watch the game, Mike?
I most certainly did.
What was your story on that one?
It was a good game. It was a very tight game. It was really funny. I was on a Facebook post with some Liverpool fans. I think it was on Thursday. And they were all sprouting about how they're going to win 5-0, 4-0. And my comment was simple. I'm very wary about this team.
Sure.
We always seem to struggle against West Ham. They always give us all they've got.
David Moyes has got them playing some really good football.
He certainly has. You've got to take your hat off to him. And they are playing some great football.
Indeed they are. Watford, they went down to Arsenal at home, 3-2. That was a shame.
Yes.
Roy Hodgson, I think he's the latest manager there at Watford, isn't he?
Yes, he's on the roundabout as well. No doubt he'll drop off soon. Yeah, probably by Easter.
Big match this morning. Man City 4 defeating Manchester United 1. So that put them 6 points in front of Liverpool.
That game surprised me. I would have thought Manchester United would have had a bit more bottle.
Yeah.
They just seem to fall over and let Man City control it.
They did. Jordan Sanchez, he got a goal for them in the 22nd minute after they were... De Bruyne scored in the 5th. And then he scored again in the 28th, De Bruyne. He had a great game. Riyad Mahrez, another one. He scored 2 goals in the 68th and 91st minute. But they look really good, Manchester City.
Oh, they're a class act. You can't... I mean, love them or hate them, you can't deny how good a quality of football team they are.
That's right. And there's one more game to go tomorrow morning. Tottenham Hotspur versus Everton at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. A battle of two teams out of form. My nephew Ollie, he's travelling down from the Wirral near Liverpool to support Everton. He's been to White Hart Lane, I think, once before. So I'll get up early in the morning and watch the game, see if I can see him in the crowd.
Most definitely. What's your thoughts and predictions on that one?
I'm hoping Tottenham can win. Everton are not playing very well at all. But then again, saying that, neither are Tottenham. But hopefully at home, Tottenham can get the job done. They've got a great lineup, but it's just not... I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah.
It's just the defense. I keep saying it's the defence.
Yeah, it is the defence, yeah.
They never fix that problem.
No. And when you think, consider that Everton had a 1-0 loss to Man City only a week or so ago.
That's right.
So they've obviously found a little bit of form.
Yeah. So it'll be an interesting game.
It will.
Probably end up being a 0-0 draw.
Yes, I've seen some classic 0-0 draws.
Yeah, there was a great one. Who was it? Can't remember. Well, I saw one last week.
The Carabao Cup was a classic.
That's what it was. Yeah, it was tremendous.
What a game. What a game. No one really deserved to lose that. It was such a good match.
It was indeed. So Man City are top of the table on 69, 6 points in front of Liverpool, who have 63. Then 10 points behind them at Chelsea on 53. Arsenal on 48 points at fourth. That makes up the top four. Man United are on 47 points, West Ham 45, Tottenham are 7th on 42, Wolves 8th on 40, Southampton 9th on 35, and Palace 10th on 33. Down the bottom, we have Norwich on 17, Watford 19, and Burnley 21. Then you've got Everton just above them on 22 points, Leeds a further point, 23. And Brentford and Newcastle are making their way up. They've had four wins and one draw in the last five matches, Newcastle.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Fantastic.
You could have gambled your house on them going down in the start of the season.
Yeah. Brighton are 13th on 33 points. Leicester are 12th on 33. Villa 11th on 33 points. That is all the news there. Let's have a look and see who's playing who next week. Let's have a look. Fixtures. What have we got coming up? Friday, we have Norwich versus Chelsea. At 6:30, that must be Saturday morning, or is it Friday morning? Let me have a look. I'll go into this thing here. Fixtures, here we go. I'll click on that thing. What, clicking on things? Here we go. Friday, yes, Friday morning, 6:30, Norwich versus Chelsea. That's our time, of course. Southampton versus Newcastle, also at 6:30. Wolves versus Watford at 6:30, and Leeds versus Aston Villa at 6:45. So strange Friday morning matches.
Not wrong. That's very weird.
Saturday, there's only one game. That's Brighton versus Liverpool, which kicks off at 11:30. Then Sunday, there's two games. Brentford play Burnley at 2 o'clock Sunday morning our time, or Monday morning our time. Then Tottenham play away to Man United. And that's a 4:30 Monday morning kickoff. I think I've got that right. Monday or Sunday? Sunday. I'm getting confused.
Yeah, on current form, I would back Spurs on that one.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yep.
It's an away game. They did very well against Man City.
They did.
That's twice they've beaten them this year. There's not many teams that have done that. Then they can get beaten by Burnley.
I know. Figure that out. Have you heard anything about Harry Kane? I've heard stories he's moving in the summer.
No, I haven't heard anything.
Mm.
No. We heard all that last summer, so...
Yes, round two now.
Yeah. Next Monday morning, the 14th of March, we've got another load of games. It's Chelsea versus Newcastle at Stamford Bridge. That'll be a good game.
That'll be a cracker.
Everton, they Wolves at Goodison Park. It's 1 o'clock Monday morning. Leeds play Norwich, 1 o'clock Monday morning at Ellen Road. Southampton versus Watford at St Mary's Stadium. West Ham play Aston Villa, 1 o'clock kickoff. At the London Stadium and Arsenal. They're at the Emirates Stadium. And that's a 3:30 Monday morning kickoff. So lots of football coming up, Mike.
Oh, isn't it good, eh? It's mouthwatering.
Oh, for sure. No, I think that's just about it for us. I've got nothing more to say. Have you got anything you'd like to add?
No, I'm all good. The only thing I suppose is get out there and support your team down in the various state NPL competitions and have a great weekend.
Yes, for sure. So we'll be back next Monday night. We're going well.
We will.
Of all, everything that's happened this coming weekend. Until then, it's good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Good night.
Good night.